Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show continues to roll on Friday, April 3rd. And we are going to talk today about the Quincy Public Library first and Camp Jensen Woods later on. But as always, the Mary Griffith Show is brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. If it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Several good things are going to come out of this COVID-19 pandemic. One good thing is we're going to appreciate people who work for the government in essential capacities. Now, Katie Croucher from the Quincy Public Library is still working today, even though the library is closed. She joins me today. Good morning, Katie Croucher.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine. We're social distancing. You're over the phone, but this is an unusual thing. But one thing I think is going to come out of this, parents are going to really appreciate teachers, because as this drags on, parents, yes, you can try e-learning, and they're doing it, but, you know, kids have questions, and even though the teachers are available, they're going to turn to mom and pop and say, help me with this, and boy, mom and pop are not prepared, but there are some great resources that the Quincy Public Library has. So before we launch into that, let's talk about this. Are you aware of any libraries that are still open in our area? Hannibal is closed.
Not that I am aware of. I think with the shelter in place and essential workers only, it really has become one of those situations where libraries are still trying to connect with the communities through social media. We're still trying to serve in whatever capacity we can. But, you know, without endangering ourselves by being in those buildings, you know, it makes it really difficult. So as far as I know, most libraries in Illinois are closed. I'm relieved to hear that Hannibal is closed. You know, we know librarians from all over, and we want them to be safe during this time, as well as being able to serve their communities. So,
well, that's right. I mean, there's no necessity. And plus, you know, let's face it, you touch the books, you know, you just can't do it. It's just completely unsafe. But here's the great news. Some people, not me, but some people have already adapted to the wonderful world of having, you know, e-books and all this other stuff that they can just pull up on a tab. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to talk about real old school people who don't have access to a computer, don't have access to anything like that. Is your vending machine still open in the county market there at 48th and Broadway?
Yes, the vending machine is still open at 48th and Broadway. And as with everything that's going on now, we do recommend, you know, if you're going to use it, use hand sanitizer before and after. Or, you know, if you're wearing gloves, you know, use them, use a new pair for everything that you touch. Follow those guidelines that are in place. But yes, the vending machine is still there, and we are, you know, stocking it as we notice that things are being checked out. So, you know, there are very limited staff at the library at this point, so you can still call and leave a message on our phone. If there's something that we can do to assist you, we will call you back when there is staff in the building.
Now, when you say, can you assist me, could I call and put it in order? I want this book, and you'll put it in one of those locker boxes for me to check out, or is that off the table?
Yes, we are still doing that at this time, and they are being used immensely well. But, you know, like I said, with the vending machine, we can't guarantee that every person that is collecting their materials is being as safe as we are. And so just use those cautions when you are picking up your materials from the lockers. Make sure that you are cleaning your hands and washing your hands and using, you know, sanitizer before and after, just to be very careful of that while we can still continue to put materials in those lockers.
Okay. So to reiterate, you can go to the vending machine at 48th and Broadway County Market if you're a Quincy Public Library card holder, and it dispenses books and movies and things just like a vending machine. It dispenses library materials. That's open and is being restocked.
Yes.
Okay.
And just to continue that, anything that is checked out during this time of sheltering in place is not due until after the library reopens. So if you have materials that you have checked out from the library, all of those due dates have been extended. We will not be putting anything overdue during this time, because we can't send it back to the home libraries, even if you do return it. So make sure that you are, you know, just to hold on to those materials, make sure you know where they are, but don't don't try to put them in the drop boxes or return them to the library at this point.
One of the great benefits for me personally of COVID-19, we had two French cookbooks checked out. And so my husband's been going through French cookbooks and making some of the most wonderful meals I've ever had. So
thank you.
Thank you, Public Library, for closing your book return deposit, because now we've got unlimited time for him to spoil me with all this good stuff. I think creme brulee is on the menu for this weekend sometime.
Ooh, does he deliver, Mary?
For you, Katie, he would. He would for you. Now, let's talk about some people really are going to go stir crazy if they don't have something good to read. So let's walk through for Quincy Public Library card patrons how they can call and order books, or can they be nonspecific and say, could you just throw in three Dr. Seuss, a teenage melodrama, and a good Harlequin romance for mom, and a how-to book for dad, of, you know, I'll let you decide, or do we have to order by title and author?
We can do both, actually, and like I said, because we are limited to what we have currently in Quincy Public Library, our physical materials are the only ones that we can check out to people, we've kind of been doing that anyway. You know, there might be a request for something specific, you know, a specific children's book. Well, we may not have that one, but we have another one that's similar, and we'll send that instead. And of course, anyone that is comfortable logging in and using their library card on either the RSA Cat app or through the library's homepage, you can log in there and put those holds on yourself. Or if you call and leave a message, do let us know which items you want, or give us an idea, and we'll call you back and get some clarification if we aren't sure what you're looking for. But also, you know, all of these things, or not all of them, but many of them are also available through our downloadable materials. And we're really encouraging as many patrons as possible to use that as an option. And to make that easier for our patrons, we are offering free digital access only cards. And there's a link on our website directly to that, so that patrons can go to our website, look for the library card sign up. And it takes about 24 hours for us to get that processed, but then you will be able to go online, use all of our downloadable materials, use all of the online resources that are there, and then, you know, when this is all over and we're allowed to open up again, come in and we'll get you a full privileged library card at that point. But, you know, to make it easier for parents and children and people who may not have access another way, we're making sure that they have access to all of those materials.
Just a wonderful benefit of being in the Quincy Public Library system, or the what's it called? It's not Tri-Township. It's Tri-County. What is what is it
townships
called?
Townships of Quincy Area Public Library District.
Sure, whatever, yeah. So even if you're not in the Quincy School District, if you live outside, you can also access some of these things if you are a member, and you should know by now if you're a member or not. Okay, so you're making
Absolutely.
It just easy as pie for folks to not be bored. And I am a little bit concerned. I've talked to a couple of parents. I don't have children of my own, but I've talked to several parents who say, wow, you know, this is different, because I'm trying to crack the whip on this kid. But, you know, I mean, I can't really tell if they're working hard, because I've never observed them at school.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they, I can't do it. And if my kid just really can't grasp the information, or if they just would rather, you know, watch Jeopardy or something. And so parents are struggling. So one of the things that, you know, parents can make sure kids can do is they can make sure that they read a specific book or do a specific task. And the library's got all kinds of things where parents can kind of say, look, I can kind of judge how hard you're asserting yourself based on a book report on Peter Rabbit, as they would say in the Charlie Brown musical.
Yes, yes. And to make that even easier for our patrons, a company called Tumble Books has opened up their access to libraries and library patrons through the end of August, which is just fantastic. And this is another one that you can go onto our website. There's a link directly to it with descriptions of what the five different resources are. But specifically speaking towards, you know, how to gauge, is this something that is appropriate for your child? Is it something that is going to challenge them? Is it going to be too easy for them? But also those skill building opportunities. So you can look at Tumble Books. It has ebooks that you can read online. It also has puzzles and games. It is linked with a lot of the Common Core curriculum and standards so that people can look at it and say, yes, this is appropriate for the grade or age level that my child is. There are so many games on there, and it has skills and, you know, graphic novels, nonfiction, videos, language learning, so many great things. It will read to the children as well as having them read the story and flip the pages. There's also a version of this for teens, which is, again, just fantastic. It talks, has a lot of nonfiction for teens, which I know is harder for parents to know. You know, we all know about The Hunger Games or whatever the newest teen novel is, but we may not know what good nonfiction materials there are. It also has drama and poetry or AP English links, so that they can read those books that are considered more appropriate for the AP and honors classes. In addition to that, there is an audiobook section, and for our parents, you know, who need that brain candy, there's actually a romance book group as well, so they can go in and read anything from contemporary to Western to time travel to military romance, and get their fix that way while their kids are looking at the Tumble Book screen. Best part of this is that it also has a math section. So if you are trying to teach your child about patterns, or you're trying to teach them geometry or fractions, there are books on the Tumble Books cloud that allow you to research that and find it. They break it down. It's very easy, and it's all done online and streaming.
Wow. This is really fantastic, and I think a lot of parents are going to run to this because, you know, again, the Quincy Public Schools and most of the public schools are having some kind of e-learning and are doing pretty well. I think Quincy's probably leading the way. Actually, Mendon would probably be the one that's right on track because they have a one-on-one learning up there, so every child had their own, you know, handheld iPad or whatever they're called. So there's really no excuse up there not to be able to do this every day. But for some people, they are struggling, and so it's always nice to have this. However, as a caveat, Katie Crowsher, still banned by Catholic school nuns everywhere, Mr. and Mrs. Bojo Jones and My Darling, My Hamburger. So don't let your teenage girls download those. Those will corrupt their minds. They will never grow into responsible citizens.
Well, now I'm going to have to go find that book and read it, Mary.
It was verboten, but of course, do you think I managed to read it anyway?
I bet you did.
You bet. The one way to make your kids want to read a book is to tell them they can't read a book. And if they don't care a thing about reading, they'll read a book just to see what's happening. So we've got math and geography and social sciences. These things are all rolled together. And of course, you know, Abraham Lincoln is proof. If you can read, you can teach yourself anything. The man was smart enough to become president of the United States, and, you know, he probably had the equivalent of about a third grade education. So let's be sensible. He read a lot, and you can learn a lot just by reading. So folks that are concerned about their children not having that time in the classroom, they should be. But help them stay in contact with their teacher, and then tell them you've got to read. Limit that TV time and have them read a pretty good book. I know I'm going through my library, some things that I haven't had a chance to read. I'm really enjoying going back and reading some of my favorites and then delving into some things that, you know, I haven't had time for. I'm also finding out that not everything is worth reading. So,
yes. Well, and this is where we invoke the 50-page rule, Mary. You know, if you're 50 pages into it and it's just not grabbing you, you can put that down. You have our permission. Walk away from it. Come back to it later, and maybe it will be the right time for you to read that book. But, yeah, and make it a family event. You know, if you are on your screen, the kids are going to want to be on their screens. And so, you know, use Tumble Books, use the library's social media page to get suggestions for all of those amazing tours and virtual videos that are out there right now. And keep connected with the library, because we're going to be posting lots of things that will help entertain the kids. We just released our April calendar full of literacy tips for those babies, pre-Ks, and toddlers that are out there, using things that you have in your home, you know, playing match games with your Tupperware containers and all of the lids, or stacking things according to size, or, you know, just the idea of singing and having rhythmic play in your daily routines. One tip every day for you to do things with those youngest kids to help enhance their learning skills and their literacy skills, their early abilities, so that they will be prepared when it's time for them to go off to school as well.
Yeah, I think there is definite legitimate concern that some children are going to fall behind during this time. Some kids, you know, if your parents are both PhDs, you may actually do better. It's like being homeschooled. You know, you may like, I don't have to wait for the rest of the class. I can finish, you know,
yes,
Proust.
You can specialist.
It's endless what I can teach myself. But some, I mean, we're always going to have those, the, you know, flattening the curve. We're always going to have those on the bell curve. Some are going to come out really great because it was just nothing but time to read and educate themselves. And others who maybe don't have parents that are quite, know quite how to do that, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So try your best to use these resources that are available for you. Let's talk a little bit about the Quincy Public Library, not the future of the library. Of course, you're going to be there. This pandemic will end and life will go on. But what's it like, Katie, to be called non-essential?
You know, I think that is a it's a misnomer because every service that is out there is essential in some way because you are providing a service. But we definitely understand and respect the need for people who are the medical and safety professionals, the security professionals, the fire department, garbage. You know, those really are core needs. If people can't get out, those are the services that need to be able to come to them. And, you know, the library is essential in that we are providing a service to our community. We are that gathering place when we're allowed to be a gathering place. But, you know, we're doing our best to still infuse value into what the library does. And so having the kiosk, having the hold pickup lockers, the online services, the ability to still take phone calls and messages. If people have questions, they can send emails to the reference at quincylibrary.org email address, knowing that we will answer it in as timely a manner as possible. Staff are really still trying to connect, and especially through our Facebook and social media pages, trying to connect with our community, do things that are going to allow them to engage with us and share these helpful services. So maybe not essential, but still very, very valuable in our community.
You know, I've been deemed essential, and I think fewer people need me than need the library. So it's kind of a, of course, the minute we were deemed essential by the President of the United States, I immediately emailed my boss and said, now that I'm essential, do I get a raise? And he said, essentially no.
Essentially no.
So that's what being essential will get you. not much. So, well, we're going to all stick together. We're going to make it through. One interesting aspect of the library is you're not a revenue making, you don't generate revenue. So it matters, but it doesn't really matter if you're closed for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You know, you're not going to lose any business. You're not going to lose business because you're closed. In fact, in a way, you're open because if you transfer everything online, this will be a chance in future years for your circulation to just boom.
Yes, we are seeing huge increases in our online circulation. And, you know, as far as traffic and having people come into the building, we do have our Wi-Fi open 24/7 so that patrons can come into the parking lot and use their devices. If they do not have enough data or if they don't have Wi-Fi elsewhere, they can bring their device to the library parking lot and still use that. But yeah, I mean, it really is encouraging to us to see that so many people are using us virtually, even though we can't physically be part of the community. And we are definitely hoping that when we are allowed to reopen our doors, even more people will come in knowing now that we have so many of these other resources for them. And I think there will always be a place in the world for physical library spaces because we are a, you know, temperature controlled public restrooms, water fountains, information service community center. It really is about that ability for patrons to come to us and meet each other, meet someone that maybe, you know, they're reaching for the same book or they're finding the same interest in the music or movie section where they can build that sense of community instead of being isolated as we are now.
Oh, and the puppet theater for the kids, you know, the marionettes and the puppets. I mean, it's not just watching a show on your device. It's the interaction and laughing with the other kids. So, yes, there's nothing like the live living library. But until we can get back to that, you've got the next best thing going. I want to know, is it too soon to say the summer reading program is delayed, on, canceled, going forward as planned? What's the deal there?
We are still discussing all of our options related with that. You know, we always try to have it be, you know, as close to the end of school as possible, so that first week of June or, you know, something like that. We don't know yet, but we are working on it. If patrons are concerned, please check our Facebook page and our website. We have a lot of the planning done already, so we're going to try to move forward as much as we can with what is in place. But, you know, it's just going to be planning and evaluating what our options really are at this point. So stay with us. We will provide what we can. All programming, of course, is canceled until at least May 10th, but until then, we're going to try to post some craft ideas and activity ideas, especially for those teens, ways that they can get involved and engaged. We're working on getting some tutorials up, craft projects that they can do. And for our adults, maybe, you know, starting some conversations online about, you know, what are you doing outside? What are your gardening plans? What are you reading? While we can't have book club discussions or discussion groups, you know, getting that engagement going for our patrons.
Well, it's going to be critical. I mean, the summer reading program has always been that bridge to keep kids going between grade levels. And now, you know, don't wait for summer reading. Parents, if your children are struggling, there isn't really anything they can't learn if they can read. Now, of course, if you have a child with dyslexia or special needs, you need to be contacting the school district to see what can be done to keep those kind of special services going. But frankly, you know, parents, you have to take some responsibility. Sit down and read with your kids. If they're having trouble sounding out words, talk to them about it. You do not have to know what a diphthong is to teach somebody to read. You know how to read. You can teach somebody else how to read. I mean, it's
yeah.
really... I'm not
and again,
to,
modeling behavior.
Yeah, I'm not making light of it, but, you know, because
people
are going to appreciate teachers now more than ever. But the bottom line is, you know, we all
teach them from where you are.
Teach them from where you are.
I think that's very important. You know, and sit down and read with them, read out loud to them, have them read out loud to you. Put captions on TV. You know, that's something, you know, the noise sometimes even drives me crazy, and I live by myself. So I'll put the captions on and sit and watch the TV and just read the captions because I don't like the noise. You know, so that's a way that they can see what's happening at the same time that they're reading along. But it's, you know, it's that idea that you are interacting with your child from where you are and from where they are, and give them that time to learn as well as giving them time to play and work outside and think of others. So we encourage that. Stay connected with the library however you can, and we will be here to serve as long as possible.
Well, you know, Monday date night, Greg and I are always El Cheapos that we are. We always had Monday date night at the library with free movies, so... We're struggling, you know, because
I know
now every night is date night. Yuck. I mean, yay, we're together all the time.
But he's making you creme brulee, Mary.
Yeah. Keep busy in the kitchen. You know, he's down in the basement. You know, really, I may see him less now than I did before because he's down in the basement. All I hear is power tools whirring and whizzing all the time. But I know he's home. So that's all I can say. Katie, you've been delightful. Thank you again. And I know you'll be able to convey this to the rest of the staff because they've become like our friends. We're used to seeing them when we come in once a week to the library. We miss you. We do need you. You are essential. And when we're all through with this, you know, we'll have a big party and we'll get through and life will be good.
Well, I appreciate that. We miss you too. We miss the patrons. I think those connections that the staff has made with all of the people in our community are so important, and we miss being able to interact with you as we have been for so many years. So when you are able to come back, we will be ready. And for those that are huggers, we might have an overload of hugs for a while after this is over.
Okay. Please, Katie, no hugging my husband. He has ulterior motives.
High five.
Thank you very much. Katie Krauser from the Quincy Public Library. We are joined by Gretchen Forsyth, one of the driving forces behind Camp Jensen Woods. And if there's anybody that can fight back COVID-19 all by herself, it's just Mrs. Forsyth. I can tell you that right now. How are things going?
Jensen Woods is the safest place in the world, and we need to look towards that.
It's
you know,
true.
Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I don't know whether we're in the beginning or the middle, but I know there will be an end, and we need to look forward to the joys of Jensen and getting back to nature and God.
That is true. You know, a lot of people said you couldn't save the camp, and you saved the camp through a series of fundraisers. Then people said, well, it's going to cost too much money to keep it up and maintain it. And I think you've got that. You're working on that project. At this point in time, you're still planning on having summer camp at Jensen Woods.
Yes. Let me start with some business I have to do right up front. I think everybody knows and understands this, but just to make sure, April events are canceled because of the shelter at home order and the CDC's guidance. So our April 11th work day will not be held. Our open house for kids and families to come see the camp on April the 19th is canceled, postponed, we hope. And the 26th of April was our annual meeting. So all three of those events are now postponed until later announcements. But we are actively looking forward to summer camp from June 7th through July 31st, and hopefully things will look different then, and if not, we will push it back. We will see what is possible. None of this would have happened without God, and so we're looking for guidance.
You know, there is an irony. If you could get a group of people that absolutely were COVID-19 free, you could put that group of people together at a camp experience at Jensen Woods, and the guarantee they wouldn't catch it, because if they don't have it, there's no one to catch it from. I mean, you know, the joke is, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere. If you bring in a clean supply of human beings that are COVID-free, you can't catch it at camp if it's not there.
And I think we all know that this is changing by the hour, sometimes by the minute. And so what we need to do is shelter in place right now. And I have lots and lots of activities. If you're a parent at home and you've got some kids that are restless, you need to go on Facebook, Jensen Camp Foundation, and scroll down and you will see some ladies standing in front of a table with all kinds of desserts, and it says see more, and click on that and look on the pictures. Some of the first pictures will be from the home show, and the kids will get to see the dinosaur, the archery dinosaur that we have at the camp. And the kids absolutely love that. And if they scroll all down, on down farther, they'll get to see horseback riding, and they'll get to see kayaking in the swimming pond. And there's all kinds of prayer worship outdoors and indoors. There's all kinds of pictures. So we need to plan ahead. And we have extended our early bird special on camp. It was supposed to end the end of April. It will now end the end of March. If you pay the full amount for camp, you get a $20 discount. And if for any reason we were unable to have camp, then the camp fees for 2020 would be returned, of course.
Okay. So Camp Jensen Woods, still slated to open on June 7th, but you've got to do some fundraising, and that's difficult when you can't socially gather.
Yes.
So what plans do you have there? Just ask people to donate through Facebook, or what are you planning to do, Gretchen Forsyth?
Well, there's all kinds of things, and sometimes this is confusing when people hear the term Jensen Woods Camp and then they hear Jensen Camp Foundation. So let me clarify that real quick. Jensen Camp Foundation is a 501c3 not-for-profit charity that owns and operates Jensen Woods Camp. And we were created solely for that purpose, so that we could keep that camp for the next 100 years for everybody to enjoy. 550 acres, 15 miles of horse trails to walk and ride on, all kinds of outdoor activities. So if you go on our Facebook page, Jensen Camp Foundation, you'll see all kinds of There's coffee cups that are being sold. I just bought 10 of them for Christmas presents, ordered 10 of them for Christmas presents. There's all kinds of ways that you can donate. You can do it online, you can do it through the mails. People have discovered the post office again, and they could mail something to Jensen Camp Foundation, Box 131, Camp Point, Illinois. And, of course, we have a website that tells all about camping, and we want people to look at the website, which is jensenwoodscamp.com. Mary, can I share something with you?
Yes, please do.
86% of the people that originally helped keep the bulldozers from destroying Jensen Woods Camp had never been on that camp, but they knew and understood that it was important for our community. And last summer we had campers that came from states, you know, all surrounding us, lots of Illinois kids, but states surrounding us, and states from out west, down south. And I think one of the leading, for the 16-member board members, one of the leading things we did is we remembered what Jesus said: if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. And that's Matthew 17:21.
And boy, so, I tell you what, I didn't think you could do it, but I apologize for not trusting in God and trusting in Gretchen Forsyth, the powerful force of God. You'll hold back COVID-19 if you could, I know. We're going to run out of time. We have less than a minute, but let's give those important Facebook and donation mailbox numbers again.
Okay, call 217-773-2491 if you have any questions at all. Go on Jensen Camp Foundation Facebook, or go on jensenwoodscamp.com webpage. And if all of us chip in, give a little, it'll help us meet the needs, our financial needs that need to be covered right now, so we can be there for everybody after this is all over.
Okay. Thank you so very much. We appreciate everything you do, Gretchen. Keep the faith and keep us posted, because when you replan your open house and all your fundraisers, WTAD wants to help you. We're in this together, okay?
Okay. Thank you. God bless everyone.
God bless you. Gretchen Forsyth from Jensen Woods.